Club 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
Hey.
Hi, good Josh. Good evening.
How are you, David?
I'm good, thank you. It's nice to be back in the studio.
It's been a month, isn't it? Because we didn't do one in the studio.
No, it was a bit of a compilation last time. But there's been great interviews with, we had Craig and Ellie, didn't we, interviewed?
Yeah, it was really good. Mm. Welcome, everyone. It's the HRV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, DAB Plus, and RadioReverb.com online. We're here, me and David in the studio. The other crew are elsewhere, aren't they, Sue and...
Busily doing things, all HRV related.
Yes, but we've got a couple of great guests today. So
we have.
Yes. What have you been up to, David, before we get going?
I've had family down for the weekend, so that was nice to see them. We went sort of going through the antiques fairs and flea markets of Brighton, so the only thing I bought was a little tiny shaker from my cinnamon on my porridge in the morning.
Oh, as you do.
Yeah. I've switched to porridge every morning for breakfast to try and mop up me cholesterol.
Ah, yes. Yeah, it's good to do that, isn't it? I love porridge.
I do. Yeah. It's nice.
So is that anything else HIV related? Have you been doing any work?
So today I just come from a meeting which is about the planning for the Zero Stigma Day, which worldwide is on the 21st of July, which this year will be on a Sunday. So we were looking about how we can involve maybe faith groups with that and other parts of the communities that we don't normally reach.
Right, that's a good idea.
Maybe schools, although with it being late July, it's a bit late for schools to work with them. But, yeah, and then last week we had some Fast Track City planning as well. So, yeah, busy.
So it's like gearing up, isn't it? Summer gets geared up and you've got Pride and all these...
So the lull after World AIDS Day is over now and we're starting to gear up for all the other events throughout the year.
It goes quick, doesn't it? I mean, it's so nice to have a bit of spring today, and it's been so wet, I think.
Yeah.
I have to apologise, I'm creaking. It's my creaking chair.
Yeah, you need oiling.
I do need oiling. Yes, let's move on quickly. I'm fine.
I said you need oiling, not lubricating, but...
yes, it's for another show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks, David. Yeah, I'm fine. <Not for me. laughs> I was talking about that I've switched my... I've had to come off my injectables.
Yeah, you were getting some side effects, weren't you?
Well, it's difficult to know, really, because I had this pancreatic thing going on, so it's difficult to know. So I've had to come off the injectables and go back on my old regime tablets to see whether it caused the issue with the pancreatic.
Yeah.
So I've just started to take the tablets again, so it's quite interesting to go back on to take the tablets again.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
We'll see.
Has that been a bit of an adjustment for you? In sort of, you know, you get a handful of pills in the morning, you've got to swallow them. And
I mean, because of the issue with the pancreas, I had to start taking tablets anyway with the pancreas.
When you ate.
I got used to it. But I think it's just, you have to do these things, don't you?
You have to try.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's on the show?
Right, well, we've got some great songs today. And then this week we are celebrating International Women's Day. In fact, for some people it's International Women's Month, isn't it? I noticed there's Women's History Month and things all happening all around. And we've got Mother's Day. We've got a lovely interview with Abigail Bruce. And we're meeting Flash as well, our sponsor. And we've got some great music. Community news, another interview which Tony did with... Gary Pardita from Lunch Positive.
That's going to be, it's great.
And that'll be the end of the show.
Yes, so we can go home. Yes. And we're going to ask, because we've got a sponsor, which is a brilliant, we've got a sponsor on who's going to, but we're going to have a chat with him, Flash, but I will let him say his surname because it's a long one. So, we'll be introduced to him. So, shall we get on with the show?
Please do.
Yes. So, so we start with Woman by Nina Cherry. Nina Cherry, is it?
Nana Cherry.
Nana Cherry, I don't know. I'll get confused. We'll see you on the other side with Abigail.
Welcome back. You're listening to the HRV Hour on 97.2 FM. And DAB Plus Radio in the Brighton area.
Yes.
That was Woman by Nina Cherry, and it's celebrating International Women's Day this week, and I'm joined here by a lovely woman called Abigail Bruce. thereafter known as the Empress. We've been asked to refer
yes,
to her.
Yes, the Empress. Yeah.
So welcome, Empress. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, good. It's always a pleasure. So why are we calling you the Empress?
Oh, it's a long story.
Well, we've only got 10 minutes.
Okay, I'll make it quick. There's so many queens in Brighton. And I thought they'll be snatching my crown every time.
Ah, right.
So yeah. I decided to be the Empress. So
why
I can
not
keep
indeed?
My crown.
I love that word. I love that.
Good.
Nice so to see you, the Empress.
Thank you.
So I've known you most recently from your work at the Sussex Beacon. So you still work at the Sussex Beacon.
Yes,
and
I
you've
do.
Just taken on a new role, is that correct?
Yes.
So tell us about that.
I used to work upstairs as a healthcare assistant.
This is in the inpatient unit.
In the inpatient unit. But now I've taken over the job that lovely Eve used to do. It's where you're working with women and family services.
Oh, great, great. Yes. Fantastic.
So my job is like support all the women in Sussex, the whole of Sussex.
So East and West Sussex?
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah, which is quite a big job. And I started in November, so I'm still trying to find my way.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it so much, And the women are supporting me so much.
Oh, good.
And I've got a good group of colleagues which really support me as well.
Mm, fantastic. And it's great to be, that a woman living with HIV is leading that service as well, isn't it?
Yes, this is what I hear from some of the women I support, that it's good to have someone who can relate. Because I've been living with HIV for maybe, say 20 plus.
Right, wow.
Because that's when I stopped counting.
Right, yeah. Decades.
Yeah.
At least two.
Could you tell the listeners a little bit about your journey with HIV then?
Oh, you said you only got 15 minutes.
Well, you know, I'll just bring a concise version.
I was diagnosed in 2001. I didn't know I was living with HIV then, but I just got so unwell. I was having migraines. And then I collapsed, went to my GP hospital. They told me I had toxoplasmosis, which is caused by cats and mice.
It is, yes.
And it was a long journey to recovery because I had to go. I stayed in hospital for almost 3 months, which was called the Elton John Hospital.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So I'm a very old girl, although I look young.
Yeah, you do.
So, yeah, I was treated there by one of the best team with Martin Fisher and things like that. Then from there, I've just been learning. I had to learn to read, write, walk, speak.
Really?
Everything.
Wow.
I had to learn everything because the membrane, it covered my brain.
Yeah, toxoplasmosis does that, doesn't it, I believe.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was a bit nervous about having cats to begin with. I've only had cats for 2 years, but I was aware back in the dark days that cats could have been a risk or, their contact with rodents and feces and other such stuff. Was a problem.
Yeah,
but
I think
it happened
here,
to you.
Here, because they're vaccinated, they give them, I think I contacted it in Africa.
Right. Ah.
So, I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
This is why they don't allow the sort of, say, pregnant women not to be in contact with cats, and just because of that.
Is that still the current advice?
Yeah, because their immune system is a bit, it's not as strong as it would be, but yeah, they do.
Good to know. Yeah.
It's all important stuff, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
So the Sussex Beacon, David, you were saying about the Sussex Beacon.
Yeah, so how often does the Women and Family Service sort of meet as a group? And obviously you do casework, don't you?
Yes, I do casework, but we meet once a month, once every month, and we do, like this month is International Women's Day, so we're just going to meet up, have food, celebrate each other's women and mothers.
Yeah.
And then in December, we did a makeup day. We went to the MAC shop.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
And about 18 women turned up, and they're made to look beautiful. And in December, we did a pamper day with three therapists. Actually, I booked two, but because it was so well attended, I had to ask one of my friends who was a therapist to come and help.
Oh, good.
So three women coming to do massages. Yeah.
And I understand that sort of the attendance has increased as well since you've taken over the role.
Yes, it is. Increased, I don't know why, probably because they can relate to me.
Mm.
And also I was a service user, I see, so yeah. They know me personally.
Mm. Mm.
I think that's why.
Do you find that difficult, being a service user and a member of staff together? Is it difficult to differentiate, you know, where do you hold that boundary within yourself?
I think I was lucky because before I used to work at the, in the hospital, you see.
Right.
At the Howard too.
Right.
Yes. So when I worked there, I started meeting people I know in the community. And then when I went to courtyard, I met women whom I knew. So I started knowing how to draw the boundaries.
Right,
when to draw the line.
Yeah.
Because there's a boundary in the line that you can cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, even now, it's so hard. Because when they can't get me at work, they call my phone because they've got my number.
Yeah.
But it's still okay.
Yeah.
Because I think it's better to be there and support each other than to be too much about I'm not working, I'm da da da. But maybe if I'm on holiday, I'll switch off my phone.
If someone's in crisis, you can signpost them on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still need your boundaries.
Yeah. We have to look after ourselves, don't we? Otherwise, we're no good for anybody else.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what kind of family life do you have? Because you're obviously very busy professionally.
Oh, actually, this job I think is not as busy as it was upstairs because it's a Monday to Thursday.
Mm.
Is it recent? I've just been married a year now.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you, but I've got two grown-up boys.
Mm-hmm.
They've both moved out.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got a bit more spare time then.
Yeah, but I miss them.
A lot less washing. I guess so, yes.
I couldn't wait for them to go.
Yeah. They still bring their washing home, do they?
No. But now I wish they would. I miss them so much.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do.
I miss them so much.
Yeah. They're not far away, are they? They're just down the road.
No, they're in Wedding.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's good. Good.
So how many, at the Beacon, how many proportion between men and women to the Sussex Beacon, then? Do you know
about that? Mostly, most service users are male.
Yeah.
Mm.
And now we're getting more females in service users, especially all women at a certain age.
Mm.
I think this is because they've raised the kids,
right.
And some are pensioners, some have stopped working, and now they've got time to look after themselves and they've got the time.
Mm,
to come and stay as an inpatient.
Yeah. Are you getting many late diagnoses amongst women, or is it fairly even across the board?
I think the hospital would answer that question better.
Yeah.
But when I was working there, we're seeing that late diagnosis in women.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I have read that obviously after menopause, women suddenly find a new sexual freedom.
Yeah. And divorce.
You know, and divorce, of course.
Yeah,
of course. They have the sex life that they should have had before they were married.
Yes. Especially if you're married for 34 years.
Well, no judgment, but it happens. It happens, isn't it?
No, it does happen.
So it's important for anybody that of any age, if you're sexually active, to get tested, and that's so important. And we've just had National Testing Week, haven't we?
Yes.
And we have the opt-out testing in hospitals and things. And,
It's been so helpful because most of the women I'm looking after, they got them from the testing at the hospital.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What, from the A&E? Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some at the maternity clinic.
The Lawson unit newsletter is coming out soon. There's an article about that, the testing in Brighton A&E, and I think they found quite a few new cases, which they weren't. They knew people were out there who were untested because of the infection rate they were getting in the clinic as a whole. But now, they've found a lot more. They're hoping that the infection rate will go down, and we can work towards zero by 2030. That's the goal.
Yeah.
What has happened is the government has given out these visas. It's called care certificate visa, which means if I was a trained nurse, I could apply for this certificate, and they'll allow me to bring people from abroad. So some of the people who are coming here, they'll be living with HIV.
Yes, yeah.
Or maybe they didn't know. And because they're not being paid enough or having enough working hours, stress makes you unwell. And I'm looking after many women who came in that category, who came on the care visa, and they've got no access to public refund. So they can't claim anything else.
Yeah.
They need that support, don't they? So that so you can talk to you know they can talk to someone who knows what to where to signpost them, and it's that's us speaking and do that, don't they? When people come.
That sort of support from the health service and the community, don't you?
They're sent to us by the Lawson Unit or other organisations. Because they're really struggling. They're supposed to be working 37 and a half hours, but they're working 18 hours. Which means working 18 hours, you're getting less than minimum wage. And so, they're almost destitute.
So you are a qualified nurse?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
What was what like you're healthcare doing? Howard too?
Oh,
healthcare assistant.
Yes,
I beg your pardon. You did say.
And I loved it. I still miss it.
So I used to volunteer at the Sussex Beacon, and I miss contact with the service users there, the patients, and just getting to know them and befriend them, and we learn so much from each other, don't we, from our own individual journeys?
How it works, isn't
it is.
People's experience.
That support within the community. Yeah.
So as it's International Women's Day, why is it so important to have these days? Do you think?
It's so important because as women, I feel we are respecting ourselves. Men will respect us, the world will respect, but as women first, we have to respect ourselves. We have to celebrate ourselves because without us women, you boys wouldn't be around.
No,
absolutely true.
So we're celebrating all the women, mothers, not mothers, that we are here. We need to be heard, we need to be seen, and to be celebrated, and celebrate ourselves as well.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Well said.
So could you, the project you do at the Social Speaking, just say that any contact details for our listeners, so that if they're interested in coming along.
Okay, my email address?
Yeah, how to get in contact with you, and if they want to do the course.
Oh yeah, you can get in contact with us through our website, Sussex Beacon website.
Yeah.
If you just Google Sussex Beacon, it will come out, and the website, there's a page there when you can refer. They do self-refer, you can ask your GP or your Lawson Unit doctor, anyone who's helping you, even anyone in the community, and your friends can refer you as well. But it's up to the managers to see if it's fit for you at that moment in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because upstairs they also do detoxes.
Right.
But they can only have two at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a waiting list.
So what if a woman wants to come along but they're scared of joining a group because of social anxiety and things? Would you be able to sort of work with them on a one-to-one basis and sort of introduce them slowly? And
yes, we do one-to-one. And we've got some clients right now who are saying to Lucy, who's a Caucasian woman whom I work with, that they don't want to talk to someone from Africa.
Really?
Yes, because I was that person one time.
Yeah.
I did that because of stigma. So we'll just try and speak to them. I won't speak to them, but my colleagues will try and talk to them and see if they're ready to come and talk to me, or just a phone call.
Yeah.
But at the end, it's their own choice.
Mm. Yeah.
Because the help is there. You just need to make the first steps.
Yeah. I think that's it, isn't it? The first steps so can be the hardest sometimes, but you just need to. Yeah, definitely. We're coming to the end of the interview, aren't we?
Yes, we have indeed.
You had a track that you
did. You've chosen a song.
Yes.
I've got to say, just before you go, because I did the Drag Queen for a Day, which is services speaking, isn't it, last year?
Yes.
And you were there, and I remember you were so brilliant and so kept us all smiling, and we loved it, so it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's really good. And that was a really good project as well.
And before we play your song, will you come back again?
Yes, I'll come
you
back
will,
again.
And talk about anything you like?
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
Can I suggest
great
something?
Hair now.
Absolutely.
I had my hair done 2 days ago, and then this girl has been doing my hair forever. And for some reason, I don't know what came over me. I said, as a woman living with HIV for 20 plus years, the woman jumped and she was holding a piece of hair. I said, oh, my God, what should I do now with this information? What do you want me to do? She was terrified.
Really?
And I said, you've been doing my hair for more than 10 years. What's your problem? Stop it now.
What's the difference?
And she just looked at me. She said, oh yes, it's true. Then she continues.
Just interesting, that initial thing she felt, wasn't
yes,
it? That fear.
Yes.
And that's still in there, isn't it? With this, with a lot of people.
Well, people
no,
scared.
But she really, she started asking questions.
Yes.
The discussion. And I said to her, if you ever need to talk to me, please let me tell you more. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's it, isn't it? Asking questions and people, and if you're interested and you want to know, and it just really helps and diffuses things, doesn't it?
It helps if us listeners and presenters, we talk about it naturally and openly without, the interviews we had last week, it was apparent, that we, living with HIV, sometimes we have to be the educators.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely,
So could you just let our listeners know what you chose, your song?
Okay, I've chosen a song called Madao.
Yeah.
By a new upcoming musician from Zimbabwe, but lives in England. He's called Kaz Khalif.
And why did you choose that one?
I chose it because it's almost about domestic violence, but on a man's side.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Right.
The way he was being abused by this woman, Madao.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have you back on, Empress. That'd be really good.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show. This is Madao by Kaz Khalif.
Yeah, thank you.
Radio Reverb. Fine. Radio Reverb.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com online. So that was a great interview with Abigail, the Empress. The Empress. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, so we've got a great interview now. So we... Last year we got sponsored by this guy Flash. We got Flash on today. How are you doing, Flash?
Yeah, not bad.
Thanks for coming on the show. It's great. We want to firstly thank you for helping us, helping the show out, and such an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we are a charity radio station, and every show has to pay part of the cost towards the license, the electrics, the lovely red lights that come on when we speak.
That's our dulcet tones. So, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background? Because you're not from Brighton, are you?
No. I'm from South Africa originally, born and bred, and I moved over in about 2003.
Yeah.
Back home in South Africa, life was difficult with HIV. Those adverts with the tombstones were prolific. When I was in my clubbing days, 17, not allowed, but anyway, clubbing days and that, there wasn't as much access to condoms and sexual protection like here in the UK.
Right.
I mean, back in like 1989, as an example, the anti-apartheid proactive movement that was happening was more concerned with liberating the country than actually a future living with HIV.
Mm.
And it was... We had to live with that. The whole of Africa did.
Mm.
1999, nearly 65% of all HIV cases were from Africa alone.
Mm.
And it was a very imbalanced global view where the third world countries, we were struggling a lot more than the first world countries. Medication a year cost between £8,000 and £9,000 back then.
Yeah.
Right.
And access to medication was just really hard. I've lost... more friends than I care to think about or remember back in those days.
Mm.
Coming here to the UK, I don't know how. I count my lucky stars. I didn't get diagnosed when I was in South Africa. I didn't contract it back there.
Right.
My first weekend in Brighton, of all places, I contracted it. And roll on several months, a cold I couldn't explain or anything like that. Mm.
That's seroconversion, do you think?
Yeah. And went to the hospital, they did some blood work, they said a couple of weeks later, like, please come in, we need to speak to you, there's a few anomalies we want to discuss, and my brain just raced. Didn't know how to deal with that.
How did you deal with it then? Did you eventually did you shut down or...?
Shut down, shouting. I'm not a religious person, but I shouted and blamed God and the universe for this thing that they did to me. And I was very angry back then, very angry. And the only person I told was my sister at the time. And my family didn't understand, and I was coerced into telling my parents before I was ready. And I wasn't, I wasn't allowed to help with the cooking in case I cut myself and infected my parents. It was the stigma attached to HIV back in those days, South Africa, the older generations, is very difficult and different to what it is here in the UK.
When was that? What year was that?
That was about 2003, 2004. Yeah. So, yeah, 20 plus years now. And honestly, like looking back on it now, I feel like it's one of the best things that ever happened to me.
I think a lot of people say that.
It's there's a change in thinking about yourself and the world around you and wanting to help others.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that. It's managed now, and I live with taking a couple of tablets every day, and it's no problem. Meds. Oh, a tripler was fun. A tripler was so much fun. The hallucinations and all of the like the psychosis, extreme anxiety that went with that.
Right.
I was on ritonavir also, or no, Norvia at one time, and I started struggling with lipodystrophy from that.
Yeah,
and
got that.
Yeah,
ticking it off.
It's like bingo, isn't it?
Symptom bingo. Got that one, got here we go. yes, that's about it.
So has it changed much in South Africa then, how HIV is seen?
It's a lot more accessible, it's seen in a more positive light now. There's a lot more access to medication. The generics that are now coming into use in South Africa have made treatment a lot more cost effective, which is a godsend for so many people. I am not 100% up to date with like South Africa as a whole. I've only been back once since I came back to the UK. But friends that I've got there are now living with it. They manage it. They don't have to worry about the high costs that you used to have back in the day.
Yeah. And you told your sister. So how did she deal?
She kind of like lashed out at me because she was struggling at keeping such a big secret from my parents and not being able to tell them, because I made a promise because I wasn't ready to tell them. And we had numerous arguments about it. She had arguments with her partner, and things was difficult for her home life. Yeah. And eventually, on a phone call, I was coerced into telling my mother. And my mum turned around and said, "Well, it's one of three things: either you're a drug addict, you got to go pregnant, or you have HIV." Mm. Right. So that kind of like added to the shattering of my entire illusion of life. And contributed to shouting at the universe, did you do this to me?
Well, like you said, it happened to me where I thought it was the best, because I started to look into who I was and started doing therapy and really looking into it, and it was like a kickstart,
catalyst of a change.
And it's really painful, isn't it? But it's like a start of finding out who you are, actually. It's gonna be difficult.
Yeah, it is.
How are they now, if you don't mind me asking?
Cards on the table, I don't speak to my family of origin.
Right.
I don't need their permission or approval for anything that I do
indeed,
in my life.
No, indeed.
Yeah. And I have a lovely chosen mum and dad who I live with at the moment, my landlords. They are, they are what I had hoped parents would be.
Yeah.
They are also live with HIV. They're also living with HIV, and it's,
sometimes you get a lot of support from the family you choose rather than the family you don't choose to be born to, a
this
blood family.
Like the sense of community that you get here in the UK, and I've experienced since moving back to Brighton, it's warming. It's why I've tried to do so much and bring more to the community and work with charities and things like that.
Yes, so that brings us onto your work, because you help charities out and you've helped us out again.
Yeah.
So can you go into that a little bit, how that got started?
So it started with, originally was like doing fun runs and short walks for charity, trying to raise money for them. Like the Heroes Run in Brighton several years back. There was the HIV Walk in London several years back, and that like started trickling, and it was like 10, 20 quid here or there, maybe 80 quid. And over the last few years, I started doing marathons, and I raised 80 quid back in 2012 for an animal charity, because it was close to my home in South Africa. And it's moved on to doing philanthropy, donating to you guys, helping a community group here in Brighton for a niche community to make sure that they have the safe space to explore their unique selves and identities. Mm-hmm. And last year I raised a couple of grand for a mental health charity. This year I'm doing 6 marathons for...
You're a marathon man, aren't you?
Yeah, yes. 5 last year, 6 this year.
Yeah, say that again.
I did 5 marathons last year and I'm doing 6 this year.
I couldn't walk a marathon.
I could eat a marathon.
I'm all
Snickers now.
I know, right? And I find that the running is really good for my mental health.
Yes.
And it's just time to let my brain go and do its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just exhaust myself.
Yeah, and so the company you have,
yes,
can say it,
yeah, Jack Russell Technologies.
Did you start that here or in South Africa?
Yeah, I started here in the UK during the dark times of COVID several years ago. I got put on furlough, and one of my friends on Twitter is like, "Hey, I've got this problem. Can anyone help?" And I messaged them, and I'm like, "Do you realize I'm on furlough, right? Do you need help?" And they came back and said, "Yes, I need this done within 2 weeks." And I didn't sleep for about 72 hours because it was such an interesting problem to solve that I just built the thing that he needed and gave it to him. And they turned around and said, "Right, we want to make it work for us."
So what is it?
The software company.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right,
the software and tech.
Yeah.
So for my sins several years ago, I rebuilt Gaydar. And I'm the reason it went from the yellow to the blue.
Wow.
So
that's good. Relation, isn't it? So did you have any problems setting it up, being HIV? Did that come into it?
No, not necessarily. It hasn't come up to it. I experienced more problems with UK HR over the last 20 years because a lot of companies in HR didn't really understand it. Changing medication, med regime, you go through the side effects and that. Mm. And work wouldn't understand that I'm just suddenly ill and I'm not going to be able to eat. I need to go home, or I'm throwing up in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And HR never really understood it, even like trying to make them understand that it is technically a disability. Mm. So we need some understanding behind it, even if it's just like more flexibility in our time off or, you know, work from home. And that caused me more trouble than anything else.
Right.
Mm. Starting a business as here in the UK is, if you have a dream and you have an idea, the only person stopping you is yourself. You are the only person. And if you fail, you've learned a lesson.
Yes,
and you can grow from that and learn more, trying a different thing. Yeah.
We push away from failure, don't we? But I think failure is how we learn. Yeah. I know for me, I'm like that. Mm. Oh my God. That's how we learn.
It is.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to say about, because you've got the marathons coming up, haven't you?
Yeah.
So,
the marathons, this year I'm doing Brighton Marathon in April, and then 2 weeks later I'm doing the Cromer Marathon. First time ever doing 2 marathons in a month, which is going to be fun.
Wow. You train a lot. Do you train every day for that?
I train 3 times a week, long distances. Yeah. This week I've done, God, what's today? So I've done nearly 26 miles this week so far. I've done 100 kilometres this month already.
You just lie down, David, don't you?
That's why you're so lovely and slim, isn't it?
Yes. I need to lie down.
Yeah, heading on to Valencia is the last one I'm doing this year because the finish line is it's a really beautiful, beautiful building that I want to see.
Yeah.
Going to do Loch Ness.
That'd be amazing.
Can't wait. Right. I'm doing Amsterdam because I want a flat marathon. So I'm doing the Amsterdam marathon, which is like the flattest I could find.
Yeah, so which is the one, is it Amsterdam you'd want to do? Which is the one you'd really want to do?
I really want to do Tokyo one day.
Right.
Really, really do. I want to go to Tokyo. But like getting into the big five is really hard. London Marathon is very oversubscribed. Hopefully this year I can gain enough traction with fundraising that I can find a charity that will let me take a place into the London Marathon. The atmosphere that I've seen over the years.
Do you do half marathons?
That's an interesting question. I run a half marathon at least once a week, actually.
Right. As a hobby. The Brighton Half Marathon is the biggest fundraising exercise for the Sussex Beacon.
So I did do the Brighton Half, mm-hmm. and out of runners who didn't put gender down, I came third, and I finished in an hour 41.
Wow.
So I was last year at Brighton Marathon, I came second out of non-binaries. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting there.
Congratulations on that. And it's all for charity, is it? Every single one.
Every marathon I do, I'm raising money for charity.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, we're coming to the end of the interview, actually. So you chose a song, which we'll play in a minute. But we just want to thank you, don't you? From Radio Reverb, actually, because you've and the show. And because we're keeping us going, and it's such an important thing, isn't it?
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. So, tell us about your song you've chosen.
So I've chosen a song by Mango Groove called Special Star. And this song, it has all the happy memories of South Africa in it and reminds me of the sunsets and the thunderstorms on the veld.
Fantastic.
Well, let's have a listen
to it.
Thank you, Flash.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hi guys, welcome back to the HIV Hour. You're speaking to Tony, one of the presenters, and I'm joined here by the lovely Gary from Lunch Positive. Hi Gary, how are you doing today?
Hi Tony, I'm great, thanks. Good to be with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to be doing a series over the next however long, and we're going to be deep diving into Lunch Positive and the amazing work they do in the community in East and West Sussex. So Gary, this is our first episode on a series. We're going to spend maybe 10 minutes every other week talking about Lunch Positive. So we're going to start off with a bit of about the LGBTQ History Month and look at the history of Lunch Positive. So what does Lunch Positive do?
Brilliant, thanks. So yeah, so Lunch Positive is a community-based charity based in Brighton. And we provide services in Brighton, Hove and across Sussex, as you said. And those services are kind of community-led and delivered by people living with HIV. So we provide an HIV lunch club and a drop-in. We have one-to-one support for people, providing specialist support from a support worker. We've got a brilliant befriending scheme, matching people with friendships and social connection. Mm-hmm. We're just starting to run some new peer support groups. And a real jewel in our crown, I think, also is our volunteering program, which aims to involve anybody living with HIV in kind of meaningful volunteering to support other people in our community.
Excellent. And you have won awards for that, haven't you, as well?
Absolutely. The volunteering program has won a whole range of awards over the years, many, many community awards that have been granted through popular votes from the LGBTQ and the HIV community. And most recently, the Queen's Award for Volunteering in 2022, which was most amazing accolade for all the work that our volunteers have undertaken over the years.
I mean, you must be so proud not only of your achievements, but all the volunteers, your volunteer workforce, and I guess also the people that actually show up every week to support you. So it's a big community task that you guys have taken on, and you're so successful with it. It's like really amazing to see.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we're really proud in terms of providing a space and support for people living with HIV to gather and to be with one another. You know, we've grown to be the provider of the largest regular space for people with HIV to spend time supportively in friendship with each other. But also, I believe that because what we do is led by our community and delivered by people living with HIV and alongside our friends, obviously, I believe, you know, we reach people and we engage people very often who otherwise don't participate in other support or uptake on other services. So we see people who've never reached out or have never been reached by support before. So it's a really joyous thing to be part of.
100%. I know I've been over many times for both the day and the evening events. And it's just really nice because not only do you get the usual groups, you get the other people that come from West Sussex a bit further afield. And it feels really totally supported, and it's just amazing, and the food's gorgeous. So how did Lunch Positive start?
Well, we started 15 years ago. So this year we celebrate our 15th anniversary, something we're really excited about. So we started in 2009. Mm-hmm. But our history goes back a little further than that, because we were started as a small community group initially, owing to the closure of a really long-standing HIV charity in Brighton and Hove called Open Door.
Yeah.
And Open Door had been around since the mid-80s, and many of us who started volunteering at Lunch Positive had been at Open Door since that time, so been living with HIV for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when that closed, there was no place provided for people living with HIV to call their own. There was no community space that was going to continue. So we decided we must do something. We mobilized, and then Lunch Positive was born. So and it's all based in that lived experience, shared social space. That's such a basic part of our history.
I mean, that's amazing. It's such a kind of like organic way you started, but again, it was born out of something that was necessary and needed and desperately needed in Brighton. It's amazing, amazing. So what, apart from the Queen's Award for volunteering, what have been your memorable achievements from the last 15 years? And there's got to be many, but just pick a couple of really good ones.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I think an incredibly memorable achievement was being asked to present at the King's Fund, which is the national think tank on health and social care. And we were asked to go along and talk about the fact that we are a community-led organisation, which we did. And it was to an audience of people who are involved in running, senior NHS figures, senior voluntary sector figures, people from local authority, people that work in health. So they really wanted to hear about community-based support, what we were doing as a peer-led organisation, and the impact that has. And as a result of that, Public Health England approached us and asked us to submit an article on how we worked and the impact of our work for their directory of good practice. So that was such a great experience and such a great accolade.
Thank you.
I mentioned the Queen's Award already, so that has meant and continues to mean so much to people around their volunteering. And also, more recently, we were participated in a piece of research undertaken by the University of Sussex, alongside with the local NHS Trust and various other organisations, looking at the impact of Lunch Positive during the COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you might remember, Tony, that you were featured in that on the video.
Was I?
Oh. They came along. Oh yes, you were, and you said some marvellous things about Lunch Positive. They came along to Dorset Gardens, and to enhance the piece of written research that they did, they actually did a video with us, and they in focus groups and in individual pieces. And that video is available on our website if anybody would like to take a look at it. It's incredibly moving. It has the voice and the experiences of people living with HIV in it, and so to be to feature in academic research about our work, again, led by people living with HIV, I just think, is a great accolade and reflection on what we can do as people living with HIV for our own community and for our peers. So, they're three pieces of very memorable achievement.
I think also when you are first diagnosed, I think sometimes there's kind of quite a bit of rejection, and I think it's really needed and desperately wanted is that feeling of community. And I think that's what you get when you certainly come over to Brighton, come to Lunch Positive at one of your lunches or evenings or special events. You just have that enveloping feeling that you're supported, people care. And I think that's what I certainly get when I come over to see you guys. There's always a smile. Nothing's too much trouble. If you like, I'm in a wheelchair, someone will say, "Oh, do you want me to go and get it for you?" It's like, and as I said, you're a absolute testament to like community and community spirit, and especially your volunteers are just outstanding. What does the year ahead hold? Obviously, you're celebrating your 15th year. What else does this year hold for you, Gary?
Well, we've another busy year, I think. I mean, every year we become busier than the previous. So we're already seeing almost twice as many people at each of our regular services. So we're going to continue with that with the core services that I mentioned at the start of the feature here. That's the lunch club, the drop-in, befriending, mm-hmm. and the volunteer. We're developing our services in East Sussex, running those more frequently, lunch clubs and peer support groups, looking at undertaking some work in West Sussex, which hasn't yet started, but we're scoping that out and very much hoping that that's going to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And developing our volunteering program further as well to reach more people and to involve more people. At its core, everything we're doing over the year ahead is around reaching those people experiencing kind of multiple disadvantages and challenges in life, and giving a space for people to improve that for themselves and for other people around them, really.
100%. Do you think, just a question just from me, do you think there's been quite a hangover from COVID and the way people interact with support services and community events and stuff generally, or do you think that's kind of dissipating now, especially with how you see on a Tuesday and a Friday?
I think COVID, that's a really mixed answer to that question, but I'll try not to take up too long giving it. I think some people still are struggling to feel confident to re-engage with social support or support overall. So that's very much the case for some people. Though we have seen people steadily return, and probably most of the people that we saw before COVID we see now. But equally, I believe that the one big national conversation we were having during COVID was about social isolation and being alone. And we found that many more people have reached out for support around being lonely and isolated because they feel less stigmatized and less out of the ordinary for doing so. So I think actually it's opened up lots of conversations around support that we can provide around loneliness and isolation. So 100%. Yeah, a bit of a mixed answer to that one.
I think you go on social media and see the TikTok accounts and stuff for HIV. And I think, you know, that seems to exponentially grow. And I think that's also helped with sometimes the social isolation and also anti-stigma is social media now is kind of kicking in where it comes with, you know, stigma. And, you know, there's quite a few TikTok accounts that I follow, and it's just lovely to see. And it is really all about community. So, well, thank you very much for that, Gary. That is our first episode out of a long series. Thank you for spending 10-12 minutes with me tonight. And thank you very much. And we'll look forward to the next one.
Thanks so much, Tony. And thanks for everybody who's listened.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you both. And don't forget, you can check the details at lunchpositive.org for further information about their wonderful events. Josh.
So we're going, so we have to go.
We do, yeah. What a packed show that was.
That was.
Nearly didn't have time for everything.
97.2 FM, Radio Reverb.